"How long will you be staying?" asked the man behind the black marble counter. I didn't know the answer. It was Christmas 1988, the day after my 30th birthday, and the gloom of the intercontinental cobble was an unlikely place to be celebrating. The cavernous lobby, chilly, dark, stretched into forbidding corners, brightened only by a shiny blue and white banner promoting the Soviet airline Aeroflot. Most of the chandeliers, their dangling crystals hushed by dust, were dark. Only one glinted stoically above the reception desk. But the wooden grid of pigeonholes behind the front counter, packed with chunky metal keys, left little doubt. Almost no one else was staying here. Would it be 6 days? Or 6 weeks? I wrestled with all the forces that might keep me in this ghostly place, and all the ones that might not. An awkward pause pressed down upon me and the Afghan receptionist, his brown suit as gloomy as the lobby. He raised a quizzical eyebrow, and then he smiled, his welcome illuminating the room. I had just landed in Kabul for the first time. The spiraling descent into one of the world's highest capitals stuns its visitors into an awed silence. Sharp, undulating ridges of rock, puckered in folds of black, grey and a rusty red, had given way to the sharp, snowy white peaks of the Hindu Kush. Far below, the lattice landscape of miniature mud houses was dotted with flat-roofed factories and dome palaces and mosques that loomed ever larger. It was no ordinary arrival. The aircraft had banked sharply in a breathtaking corkscrew maneuver, flares bursting outwards with white-hot fire.